All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast, MWR.com. If you don't know, we say it every time for, like, Josh, people. They need to go direct to the website to get other content we have. That's why we mention MWR.com every time. Twitter, MWCWire. We had a crazy weekend. We decided, well, let's hold off on a day because coaching news happened Sunday morning. And I'm like, let's give it a second. And what do you know? Monday morning, more coaching news. We'll get to that in a minute. There's a couple of games we want to get after, but there legit could be half the conference turnover. But we're going to blast through a couple of games, Josh. I guess we can go back to Friday, UNLV Wyoming.
I still don't understand how it was this, because the stats aren't – the only stat that is bad.
First quarter, 21-0.
Well, that, and then it's third downs, because Wyoming was 3 of 11, UNLV was 9 of 15. I mean, I guess you could say like the 100-yard difference is definitely bad, but everything else held equal, the score line doesn't really reflect the stats. That's just how bad Wyoming played.
It does, because I remember watching the game, and I was doing stuff like, okay, Wyoming punts, whatever. UNLV, super quick touchdown drive, fumble, touchdown, punt, touchdown, game over. Wyoming's down 21-0. There's no, I'm like, they're not coming back. Even when it's 21-14 at halftime, I'm like, there's still no way they're winning this game.
I thought they had a chance, and then they turned it over at the end of half.
Yeah, the interception right there. I'm like, Peasley, what are you doing? Because that was my breaking point, too. I'm like, okay, maybe it's going to be 21-all, because UNLV tried to be aggressive, going for it on fourth down. They didn't get it. The fumble led to a touchdown, so I kind of basically X'd out the prior, what Wyoming did, because they went for it at midfield and they didn't quite get it. So it's like, okay, that's aggressive. Then Wyoming, that was legit, or finally decent scoring drive, because the one before was, three plays, the long pass to a Gillenborg, and then that huge Peasley run. But UNLV's not built to come back. I mean, excuse me, Wyoming's not, because Jaden Maeva played pretty good. They had no running game. Like, Jet Thomas had a touchdown. That's about it. Vincent Davis didn't do anything special. He is just a Ricky White show this game. And that's all you need, right?
Outside of the beginning of the year, I mean, that's all it's had. In the Mountain West conference play, it's just been the Ricky White show, because the Mountain West defenses have, you know, they've held even CSU has held the running game in check, and it's pretty much just been the Ricky White show.
Yeah, because there's time where Jet Thomas or Vince Davis can do stuff. Even Lester occasionally. They split the carries five, but Maeva ran what he did. He did not get sacked. Like, that's a big thing we mentioned a couple weeks ago. Well, can Wyoming's defensive line do something to get disruption against the Rams? And they did. Only three TFLs. No sacks. Not much pressure. Maeva was very efficient back there. But you're right. Like, Ricky White, within conference play, we pulled up here. I think when I mentioned he had a couple games that were okay, like the Michigan game, okay, whatever. Bryant, you don't need him. UTEP, 2 catches, but 60 yards. He's had 4 of the past 5 games over 100 yards, and he had 9 catches against CSU.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take him over Torrey Horton right now, or is Ricky White the best receiver in the conference? Or we got to mention Utah State guys as well.
Like, there's a couple. I think, are we taking into account injuries?
Sure, yeah. If they played a good enough.
If we're taking into account injuries, no.
Okay, that's fair, because Horton is legit good. He's missed some time, but there's some good receivers in this conference, but that's fair.
Yeah. There is the one thing I will give Ricky his flowers on is everyone. It's the same thing with Torrey. Is everyone knows the ball is going his way, and he still manages to come down with it.
Yeah, because that's like when you look at who catches the ball for them, I'm looking at the whole conference stats. You have him, and then you have Jacob down there, 39 catches. So it's like, okay, that's about all they got. Then they got, that's about it. And then if you go down to like Mekhi has 18. But I don't want to get numbers about these receivers. I just noticed Utah State. I'm like, wait a minute. They have two guys with 21 touchdowns. I know Terrell Vaughn's good, but Jalen Royals, like, Utah State's a team where they should be better than they are.
Wait, hold on. Is that stat legit? You just said 21 touchdowns.
Between two players. Yeah, Royals and Vaughn have 11 and 10 for Utah State.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 21 would promote. That's my bad. I can't hear.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, no, combined. Yeah, it's like 21 for a single. Like, what? Get this guy the Heisman. 21 touchdown receptions already. But in this game itself, it's just, well, I mean, you're right. The numbers were pretty even, but it was basically the first quarter, obviously, that's very simple to say. Third downs, like you mentioned. Second half, well, I mean, you would think, okay, they scored 14 points. They moved down the field. They had the interception late, but punt, missed field goal. They had what? Did they legit have only four possessions in the second half? It's not enough.
Yeah, I don't think that's never enough for anybody. Like, I don't know what they can do with that.
Well, you know what you can do? That defense can't give up 25 two plays of 22 drives of 25 plays total and take it off a full quarter. There you go. And then the last drive of the game, let's run 10 plays in 29 yards and go take 6 minutes off the clock. That is ridiculous.
That's Air Force.
Well, it's pre 2 weeks ago Air Force, not the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We'll get to that too.
Oh boy! So Craig Bull, is his idol really Kirk Ferentz? Is that what he said today in his press conference?
I made the joke in our chat.
You did.
I'm like, the DC is going to be Aaron Bull at some point, and then if he's becoming Ferentz, that we'll just say the timeline happens.
That's another 10 years. What is
the contract stipulation before Aaron Polk gets fired?
Oh, man. I don't know. Here's the thing. I get wanting to be a defensive coach. Look, okay, I'm a University of Utah guy. Their offense drives me crazy all the time. I call Whittingham. He's at least the past 6-ish years. Okay, Andy Ludwig, who I'm still not a huge fan of back in his old days of Utah, or when he was at San Diego State, or when he was at Cal, or Indiana, there's a reason that dude's a career OC at like 10 different locations. He realized, let me let it go, and you take over the offense. It's like when Mike Leach was around coaching, like when he was with us, and it's almost a year since he passed away, which really sucks. He's like, you guys take care of the defense. I got the offense. Do what you want to do. I don't care. Like, that's not – Craig Bull needs to do a little bit more of that, I think. Because – I kept forgetting to look at this stat because people were like, they could still win. Like, his career record, I saw, who's the guy, he's RexfordTrib.com. He's terrible away. Like, his splits are not very good, like home and road and stuff. And in rival games aren't that great. But people keep bringing up, oh, he goes to bowl games. He does this. He gets enough wins. But my thing is, I think you agree with me, he puts enough guys in the NFL where they should be way better. Tyler Gentry, Chase Rollier, obviously Josh Allen, Brian Hill's been in the NFL. Look what who's with the Bengals? Oh, what's
Logan
his?
Wilson?
Yeah, Logan Wilson with the Bengals. Like, they put in enough players in the NFL. They honestly should be top three every in a conference. No questions asked. Is that too much to ask for what the talent goes on to be at the next level?
No, it really shouldn't, I think it's been this way since after the first couple of years, especially with Vigen before he left for Montana.
Yeah,
but it's like everyone else was getting the blame, and I think they're it's finally coming around to, all right, this is on poll. Like, if we're this mediocre, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but like just in terms of what we know this team can do and the talent they have, then it has to be on bowl.
Because he hasn't been terrible. Because I'm looking at, like, prior to, like, Paul Roach, okay, he got him to a bunch, and Joe Tiller, a handful of bowl games. They are bad with end of Joe Tiller after his first couple of years. Dana Dimmel, who's still kicking around UTEP, nothing. Vic Coney, nothing. Joe Glenn, one. Dave Christensen, two bowl games. Craig Bull is clearly their most successful coach of all time. Which, I know 96 was a great year with Joe Tiller. No bowl game, which was stupid when they lost to BYU in the conference title game. I guess Tiller had them ranked a handful of times, but postseason ranking, do you want to know the last time they've been ranked in the top 25 to end the season?
The end of the season?
Yeah.
Probably the same time as CSU, 2002.
No, 96, when they lost to BYU in the title game in Vegas, 22. Lloyd Easton, I don't want to go back far. It's like the 60s, whatever. Lloyd Eaton, okay, he did fine. Obviously more than fine. But Craig Bull's been to 2, 3, 4, 5 bowl games in 1, 2, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Get rid of 2020, that's fine. That's minus one for each of those. He's still – but when you're capping out at 8 wins every year, 6-8, it's a point where this isn't a Dabo Swinney deal where it's like, oh, we're doing all this, we're not good, then we're really good, and we drop back down. They're just underachieving in conference play forever.
Yeah, and I think that's where Wyoming fans are coming from is, like we said, they have the talent, they know what this team can do, and that's what makes it disappointing. It'd be a different story, you know, if they were, you know, fighting for everything and getting there. But the way that they've lost some of these games and some of the decision making has people questioning, like, what is actually going on behind the scenes?
Does Craig Bull know you can run the ball in shotgun? Does Craig Bull, you can have 3 wide receivers and run the ball as well? Does he know that? Is he familiar with that offense?
We'd have to count how many receivers are on the roster.
Oh, first. It's just – who is it – do you recall – and I'm putting it spot. Maybe you don't know. Who is his OC at North Dakota State when he had, you know, Carson Wentz and those guys? Do you recall?
Not off the top of my head. I can Google real quick.
That's why I was just wondering because he's had 2 top 10 quarterbacks taking NFL drafts he's coached. Or at least rostered.
When was Carson Wentz drafted?
Oh, he's with the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
2013?
If it was 2013, it was Brett Vigen.
That's how 2016. That's what I think it was, a Brett Vigen. That's what I was thinking. I was like, okay. And he went number 1 overall, didn't he? Carson Wentz or top?
He was at least top 10.
I forget. He's up there in high. Sorry, I'm spaced up, man. Who was? It was. This is awesome podcast. No, Jared Goff.
He was number 2.
Number 2. Okay, there we go. And it's I joke rostered, but maybe it wasn't his choice. But Vigen goes to Wyoming, doesn't do much. I don't know, man. Like, is he going to be a guy? He basically said, "I'm going to retire as a Cowboy." Does he have something on the AD like where he can just kind of, I'll just be here till whenever?
I know. CSU fans like to joke that the athletic director just revels in mediocrity with the decisions he made regarding football coaches. But I think it's the fact that, you know, Craig Bull has a winning record, except for not on the road.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
But he has an overall winning record, and he has a conference championship, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Wait, Craig Bull?
Does he not?
No, he went to the title game.
Why did I think he had one?
It was that weird year where New Mexico and they beat Boise with the safety dance, the gift we have.
Yeah.
And there was they won at home on that game, but then they lost in the title. They've not won a title game. But I wonder, it's kind of be a coaching show because we got some new Boise and San Diego State, obviously. With me saying, like, him being the best coach we've had, like, almost ever, okay, there is something to say, like, okay, do we want to risk bringing in somebody else where we go back to what we were, like under the last couple years of Dave Christensen? Or Joe Glenn.
I mean, they got to try something. If they want to take that next step, they have to try something.
I think what they should do, because remember, they brought in Tim Polasek from Iowa, the offensive line coach. Like, dude, we joked about that 2 years ago, talking with Michael Katz and stuff. Like, what's going on? He's like, going to laugh at it. It's like, yeah. I think he's not a bad, like, to say he's a bad coach, I don't think that's accurate. He's stubborn.
Yeah.
Where he's stubborn and he lies to us every spring. Oh, we're going to throw the ball. No, you're not, coach. You never throw the ball. You don't have a quarterback. Even when he had Josh Allen, wasted talent, and he did great things. I honestly think. Yeah,
to be fair, some of that was on Allen.
It was, but I'm just saying, coach him better then. Like, get him. Yes, yeah. That's the point. Like, get him in a place to succeed. It did take 2 years of NFL coaching talent to get him where he's at now. Even though they, as we just noticed, lost to the Broncos tonight. It's a weird game. Weird year for the Bills. But
that ending was crazy, but we'll digress.
Yeah, you can watch highlights later. We'll figure it out. You figure out what happened. You already know what happened. We're just watching real time. But honestly, go get an offensive dude and say, take over. Like, I don't – like, see, that's – I know coaches don't want to give up that that stranglehold of the team, but for the betterment of the team, he needs to bring in an OC, remove Polasek, and be a bit more nimble – and what you want to do with the ball on offense. I get it. Don't blame, oh, it's windy, the weather. No, that's not an excuse. If you have speed can break through that wind, buddy. You run a nice plays, can break through all that type of stuff. Colorado State, Fort Collins, weather's not that much different. They sling the ball around. Am I right?
Weather's, yeah, pretty much like if you're in location, yes, the weather isn't that different, but on like travel's a different story.
I'm talking about game day. So I don't know. He's there until he wants to be gone, essentially. Let's go like 3-9.
I still can't believe he's only 65.
Yeah. What do we say? He's only a couple years older than Norvell.
He's only 5 years older than Jay Norvell.
Dude, Norvell looks good for 61, for 60?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, right? We see him, I saw him on the sideline up close to personal last month. He's going crazy with those signals. but here's the thing. Wyoming fans are going to be pissed because they're going to go 8-4, go to a bowl game, and as somebody, I don't know who was mentioned, it was Jesse or you, and be play a random MAC team in Arizona Rite Aid Potato Bowl again.
Yeah.
If they go 9-4, that's a good year. Like, even 8-5, that's a solid year. I think what fans are upset about is like that next step where they're just kind of stuck in second gear and they can't get up to third or fourth gear. It's like they're just kind of jammed in between. They got it's tough. I think they're stuck.
I think they're just missing quarterback, and I think based on the limited play that I've seen, I think Evan Svoboda can be there. So it has to go back to him being stubborn and just continuing to run with Peasley.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's move on. What's next game? What other games do we need to blast through and then talk about random coaching things?
I mean, if we're still talking coaching, Nevada, Utah State.
Why? They both have their coaches. What's the problem? Or is that the problem for one of for the
well,
silver?
Well, the Grim Reaper may come knocking this weekend.
So, we're referring to Ken Wilson.
Yes.
His buyout does drop to a little bit less on December 1. Their winning streak ended, obviously. They won a couple in a row. Utah State, other coach, okay, first off, 41-24 Utah State wins. Good for them. Great win. We mentioned two of their best. I could say with confidence the best duo receiving in the country, or conference, despite having to play Cooper Legat and McKay Hillstead every other game due to injuries.
Legat even threw two touchdowns or interceptions this game too.
He did two picks, three touchdowns. Wasn't very good. 182 yards. It was a big old Rashol Fajon game, and then three receivers caught touchdowns.
Yeah,
and a dude named Brock Lane had a touchdown as well. But but Nevada, one thing about the coaching stuff I've heard or kind of rumblings of Blake Anderson not really being a fan of Logan Utah, and there's a chance he could be, even though he's 5-5, that could be another coach that could be on his way out one way or the other, whether it's his choice or, like, that's a legit possibility. So if he's not back around, don't be too surprised.
Well, let's see if he wins another conference championship. There's an outside possibility still happening.
We'll get to that in our previous show to do some more research about to us, because we'll get to the reason why that's the case. But Ken Wilson, he went with AJ Bianco for a majority of the game. And
I mean, it worked.
A little bit, yeah.
TDs. Bianco had close to, he had 235 total yards, something like that.
Yeah, he had 74 rushing, 161 passing, a couple TDs. And then they have guys like De'Lavion Campbell's pretty good. Sean Dollar's just solid running the ball, better than solid. Their defense was just, yikes.
I mean, they did have six pass deflections. They had five tackles for loss. But I mean,
41 points, man.
Yeah. I mean, it was also a foul fest. 25 total penalties.
Oh, I just saw that now. Oh, yikes.
And then Nevada went 3-14 on third down.
That was it right there. The third down. Well, both teams were penalties. That crosses out. They're both equal on turnovers. That crosses out there for the most part. Except when you consider there's a pick six and stuff like that happens, that's not ideal. And then back-to-back, which basically clears these out, back-to-back interceptions for touchdowns as well. So the turnover point differential wasn't that much due to, was it 7 points, I want to say? That's it for the swing of things, like the difference was plus 7?
Probably.
Yeah, because back-to-back, interceptions went to touchdowns, the pick six, and then a fumble, Nevada had went to a punt. So it wasn't turnovers that killed Nevada. It was just them not being able to score points. But it's Ken Wilson. Like, what's his deal? Like, he's in year three. We already had
year two.
This is year two. Holy crap. It is year two. Well, if it's year three, it'd be more problems. He's not a, hey, does him and Steve Alford, like, Alford was complaining about the bat problem the other day, which was funny.
Can they move the nest to the football stadium?
That might help them out. So what? Nevada doesn't have money to do anything. They don't care about sports, at least football, I should say. We talked about a couple weeks ago the basketball facility or complex they're building.
Well, isn't that being privately funded or something?
It's something like that. But football's been good, and we talked about this. I don't know what they want to do to be better. And it's. I think he's going to survive this year because they don't have money to get rid of him.
I think they're in the same situation that CSU was with Sonny Lubick, is they were doing more with less for the longest time, and now they're finally starting to see that you can't get away with that forever.
Because, yeah, when Jay Norvell was there, he was doing extremely well with very little. Because we mentioned last show, fires are coming in crap. Let's go to Stanford or Cal or Northern California because they'd leave town. It's like, that's a problem.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on
podcast, homecast,
your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah,
I think they'll keep him, but it's also like, who are you gonna get? What are you gonna get? Give him. I'd say give him 1 year to see what players he can bring in and go from here. I think he's gonna survive. Do you think he's gonna make it to year three?
It depends on how much money they want to cough up.
But it's only like $1 million.
Yeah, but then you got to add new coaching salaries on top of it.
Yeah, it's not Jimbo money, but still, it's something.
Hey, Jimbo, you want a job?
Okay. Here's our. Oh, that reminds me. So you saw my message DM in the chat on Sunday, right? About
which one?
Coach Arson, former Boise State
oh,
coach.
You.
So, do you ever listen to Split Zone Duo? Those guys.
I do. I listen to their free stuff on occasion.
Okay. I pay for their monthly show or whatever, however often they do it. So they move to Substack, whatever. It's like $10 a month. Like, okay, it's good enough for me. It's worth my money, I'll say. And I think if you're interested in coaching stuff, off-season stuff, which sometimes more interesting, it's a great show to listen to. So Stephen Godfrey worked for a million places, Sporting News. He's doing some Washington Post. He's just been around the block, and he knows what he's doing. He also has a – him and Hugh Freeze are not friends, as all, if you're familiar with that situation. Go look it up. It's amazing and wild. But he insinuated on their show last week about the coaching stuff because Jimbo Fisher's gone. We'll get to Andy Avalos. There's a couple of other things. I think Zach Arnett got a ride deal in Mississippi State. A couple things like just kind of coaching stuff that's sprinkling out. He started talking about the Mountain West, and like, because he brings up Harsin, but he goes to Nevada for Harsin because Harsin's already got the Auburn money from being bought out there. And he can basically literally do what he wants to build a program. Obviously, within reason, you know my point. He can make it his own image and doesn't need to be paid even $3 million a year.
Yeah, but the question is will they? Because even in Boise, if I remember, Colin can correct me if I'm wrong, or even Eric can, but he was one of those people who was one of the, he had a standoff attitude.
Oh, no, he totally does, because that's why Auburn didn't like him. Like, hey, you didn't come to Bo Jackson's golf tournament? No, I'm good. It's Bo freaking Jackson. You do not say no to Bo Jackson. It's stuff like that where he wouldn't want to be involved in those things where he's a guy, I just want to coach football. Well, coach, you're not just a football coach. You have to be an ambassador.
Well,
it's those type of things he doesn't like.
Maybe Nevada is the right place then, because
oh!
he won't have to do any of that.
Sorry, Brandon. But yeah, kind of. But he just threw it out there. So I was like, huh, interesting. All right, next game. Let's move on from this one. We are going to Colorado State.
San Diego State and CSU.
So how are you feeling in this game with a lead that nearly evaporated in the fourth quarter?
I didn't have a clear view of it, but I still thought that fumble wasn't actually a fumble.
The one where I saw it a million times. I think it was a fumble because I tried to see when his head hit the ground. It was coming. Okay, were you at the game or were you watching TV?
I was at the game. It happened like if you're watching the game on TV, it happened on the right side.
Yes.
I was all the way to the left.
So he was flipping over.
Yeah.
Who was it again? Was it Nicolosi? Was it?
It was Van Shield.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Okay, I was trying to think who had the ball. So when they kept, and again, when he had replay bouncing back and forth, I'm like, oh, he's down. There he is. But I go, oh, maybe his head's down. It was so close, but there was no way. I think it was close enough to even. Did they confirm it or did they say the call stood? Do you recall what the wording was?
Off the top of my head, I want to say stands, but I don't remember.
Okay. I felt it could have been confirmed because if people don't know, if they say the call stands, I mean, there's not enough evidence to change either way. Confirmed, that's what we saw. It's hand, elbow down, touchdown, incomplete, whatever. Watching replay, and again, watching it a million times, it looked like it was coming out. So it's like, that sucks, but it still won. But the big news in this particular game, Torrey Horton, there's 42 yards, a 1-for-1 passing. Kidding. That's still fun.
I just still don't know why people aren't surprised this happens.
No, I'm just
done it like 4 times in the past 2 years.
No, I was just joking that it's like a big 40-yard pass. That's the longest pass the game, I believe, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Yeah.
By a yard.
Yeah, Justin, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know he does a lot. I just kind of have kidding. Hey, the big surprise. No, they did well. Like, where did Justin Marshall come from? 100 plus yards, a touchdown. Where's this dude been?
He's a freshman.
Well, play him, coach.
this has been important contention over the past couple of days with the fans. It's not a question of, because one of the CSU fans found an article about easiest positions to play as a freshman, and number one was running back.
Excuse me?
I'll put it in the chat after this. It's hilarious.
Is it pass blocking part of a running back position? And that's usually tricky for freshmen NFL rookies? Yes.
And that was the exact point the article brought up. And that was why that's why even some of the reporters are saying, like, that's why he hasn't gotten in. I mean, even Tony Alford chimed in and was like, yeah, it might be easy, but that just running the ball isn't all there is to be as a running back. Like,
exactly.
When you have another, like, I realize he's a CSU legend, but when you have another coach chiming in,
mm-hmm.
like, you're wrong.
Yeah, it's – I get – okay, maybe this should have been rephrased. Running the ball as a running back, maybe. But, no. There's a reason certain guys don't play. Like, you get blown up, you're out of there.
Yeah.
Like, it's a safety thing. And so I'm half kidding. Well, where has he played? Like, you could, if he's this good, there's ways to mix him in to where maybe he's good enough for 7 carries or whatever may be the progression of his season to, yes, he's good at getting the ball, but has to be in spots. But maybe figure out that's good. They beat San Diego State team that's not great. Like, Nicolosi, this team, like, I think this team is underachieving with the dimension of talent they have. Like, legit. Torrey Horton, legit. Justice Ross Simmons, legit. Dallin Hoker could be tight end of the year. I have some votes for some of these awards. I think I have a Mackey vote award. Like, the guy from, was it, Georgia tight end missed a couple games. Sorry, yeah, you missed games. You're not playing. You're not winning.
He's back.
He has that weird ankle, tight, what, I forgot it's called.
He had surgery, and he's coming back in like 2 weeks.
I heard it was some type of, I'm going to butcher it, but there's some surgery, like, I forget what it's called. The name escapes me. I heard it today. But some,
what was it, tightrope?
Tightrope. Yeah, something like that where it's kind of newish. And so that's always getting back sooner. But like, this defense, 7 TFLs, 3 sacks, the Rams, like, let me ask you, you're the Rams guy. Like, how underachieving is this team for what talent they have?
Oh,
like,
massively.
Like, Kamara's like, good?
We should already be bowl eligible.
If the running game was more, I know they switch quarterbacks, but like, I think part of it would be the running game is more consistent because they have more. There are certain games where, like, they should have beat UNLV. Their defense held a good offense to 6 field goals.
Yeah,
they should have beat Colorado State if Norvell doesn't just go for 2 to get the win.
Yeah,
the only games where they weren't close were Utah State and Washington State, And I guess Air Force, not that close, but UNLV 2-point loss. Wyoming game, yikes, not great. But they, yeah, I'd give them maybe not six, but at least five right now, minimum five. And they're going to be 7-4. They're going to win the last two games versus Nevada. Should win at Hawaii. But let's get the Aztecs.
Yeah, crazy happened on the island.
Hey, well, Air Force. Yeah, we'll get to that later. So, Brady Hoke. I'm using the big.
I can tell you what did. They say he retired. He was fired.
No.
I'm just going to say that.
I know you're going to miss my joke. My biggest air quotes ever. Retired.
I will tell you what did that in. When CSU punted the ball and downed it at the 3 and decided to pass with Mo Kamara on the field.
I don't know, man. There's a lot going on with San Diego State. They pound their chest or this good at that. They do everything they can to get to a better conference. They say they're better than this league. And then I know Missouri got to the SEC for weird reasons. Same with Maryland and Rutgers for the Big Ten. There's all weird reasons teams go where. But if you're going to make the move up, you got to bring some winning to the table.
Yeah.
And this program, I don't want to say the word people always say about this location or what should be done, but they should be better than what they are.
Oh, absolutely.
And they live in one of the – it's interesting because people say, like, what do you want to do at school? Because I know a bunch of people. My kid right now is trying to maybe do sports in college, and we'll see how that works out for him. But I know people who would rather – who can have chances to play. Like, I played water polo in college. I went to New York to play. So, like, okay, it's a different type of deal. There's a million people who do that in California because weather-wise, location, there's just more opportunities out there. But there's not many varsity Division I teams. There's a lot in California, but, like, USC is, like, amazing. UCLA, Cal, all the Olympians go to these schools. Well, these guys, well, I live in California. Why do I want to leave? And there's opportunities to do, like, club level at the college, which is still pretty good where it's – you can play a good amount, still have fun doing it, but it's not as intense, and you actually play. But then there's people who, well, I want to be number 20. You play seven. Okay, you play seven players at a time, so it's a smallish team in the game at once in the field to play in the pool. Mm-hmm. There's guys. I'd rather these guys. There's people who I know. They would rather be number 26 at Cal. Not even Cal. That's a really good school. 20. Let's say just. No, I'm not disparaging any school, but say not an upper high level academic, so not Stanford, not Cal. Just I'm trying to Pacific.
Santa Clara.
They have some pretty good teams, like a top eight team or something. So, yeah, Santa Clara, some school that's good, but not like known for their amazing academics. But it's still a really good team that's like top five or something in the country. Those guys, or even if you want, I'll just toss back into Stanford. They would rather be, not even for schooling wise, to be number 27 player on the Stanford team. Never play ever, redshirt included. They go to, say, Princeton, who has a good, really good team. Harvard has a really good team, typically. Team like MIT has a team. There's a lot of teams in the country that are around the country are good, but they would rather either just screw around and play club, which is fine, or go to this big-time school, never play and win a national title, then go somewhere and actually play and do something because it's not in California. Point being, weather and location matter where kids want to go to school, right?
Yeah.
So San Diego is a place where it's amazing, but you also got to, in that case, you got to put on a show and figure things out. They are a team where we've talked about this year. The running game's taking a step back. Defense isn't elite. They never had a quarterback since Ryan Lindley, who was their OC. This is an area where it shouldn't be hard. If you can win in remote places, how can you not win at a tropical place where it's great weather all the time? You don't have to worry about snow. Don't have to worry about all this type of stuff. I know it's an old cliche, but they've had Brady Hoke twice. Once went well. Second time, one good year, really, if we're thinking about it. Why can't they just get Ryan? Is Ryan Grubb going to overpass him at Washington OC and, like, screw this, I'm going to get a better job?
I mean, he might. Like, let's. Is Grubb an East Coast guy? Will he do well in the SEC?
Was it Fresno, too, before, I believe? Yeah, because he follows DeBoer everywhere. He was
go to Mississippi State then.
He turned down, here's the thing that's interesting, he turned down the Alabama OC job to stay at Washington.
The Alabama OC job?
Yeah. Wow. You got...
I know what he's waiting for.
What's he waiting for?
He's
Tedford?
No, he's waiting for...
Nick Saban to retire? What do you got?
Fritz. From Iowa.
No! Oh, you're waiting forever. If he were to go to Iowa and turn them into the Midwestern Washington or whatever, or do what he did at Indiana when I think he was a QB coach. I think he was in Indiana with DeBoer when he's the OC. But if he were to go there, they would not know what to do with themselves. But like, there's jobs now. Like Sean Lewis went from a Kent State head coach to Colorado OC. Is he a guy who could jump and just like, I'll wait and take another job in the that would pay more money? Like, well, I mean, I don't know what job, but take something better, like Iowa, like because Ferentz is old anyways. It's not like he's a young guy. It's a possibility.
I mean, Sean Lewis is only earning $850,000 this year.
That's it. Oof.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, I come to Boise, they'll pay him 1.4.
Well, so San Diego State can as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So here's a couple of names on the list. You have Bryant Lindgren, Oregon State, which maybe that's a more realistic, I think. You have Kirby Moore, but some people say he's too young to even be the Boise State head coach. So, I don't know, his younger brother, Kellen Moore. So I don't know. You have Brian Harsin brought up again.
Is this the Athletic article?
Yeah, I'm looking at some of those. I had a couple others, but I'm looking through here too.
One of the weird ones I saw was T. Martin.
I see that too. I'd say it right there. He's been wanting to do college coaches despite him being Ravens QB coach with Lamar Jackson. I think you could parlay that to a head coaching job at NFL. You know what I mean?
So I'm going to slightly parlay this into the New Mexico Boise one.
Do it.
Is Danny Gonzalez gone?
Hold on. Roger, mute for a moment, please, or fast forward for 2 minutes. probably.
Because if he is, there's an interesting option that emerged.
What is it?
Zach Garnett got fired from Mississippi State.
That's true. What's his relation to New Mexico? I don't know.
He played linebacker at New Mexico.
He's a defensive guy. Okay.
He was a GA, the linebackers coach, and the defensive coordinator for the Aztecs.
I wonder if Roger knows him. He's a former team chaplain for them and has still good connections with the program. I wonder if he's from, like, okay, Roger, sorry. I mute if you haven't. Keep listening. Sorry. no, that would be – and I think he got a raw deal because I know he's put in, like, an impossible spot with North Leach just passing. And they haven't been good either, but, yeah, that's just a tough spot. But that could – trying to look. What is – the Mexicans typically let their guys run their course of contracts, right?
This is year 3, I believe, for Danny Gonzalez.
Because he's in 2020. That's year 4. Because he had that 0-for year in 2020, I think. Or no, they beat Fresno that year. I got to look it up here. We should have all this stuff in front of us ready to go, Josh. We're not prepared. We're terrible tonight.
You're right. It is year 4. The 2-5 in COVID, 3-9, 2-10, 3-6. The 0-for you were thinking of was last year when they went 0-for 8.
That's right, conference. But yeah, that's the long conference thing. So, really quick, Hero Sports 29 minutes ago, hot seat candidate. Five potential candidates to take over for Danny Gonzalez. Let's see what they have. Brent Vigen will come up for every list in Mountain West, obviously. I'm already skeptical of them saying Spencer Danielson from Boise State.
That's not happening.
Tim Gervano from UCLA, offensive line coach.
Maybe if he wants to step up.
Maybe. Do you want to take the Idaho head coach, Jason Eck? Not too bad.
It's an interesting option.
Say it again?
I was going to say, is Eck an option for Boise?
Would they hire Vandal?
CSU hired Nevada's coach.
Yeah, it's not in state. he wasn't, however, Eck was assistant. Oh, that's Ball State, not Boise State. Okay. And then this one's going to laugh out loud.
Steve Adazio.
Oh, no. Oh, that staff, oh my, that's just a horrible people in the world. DJ Durkin, Steve Adazio, Bobby Petrino. Yikes. All those guys have had criminal things against them, too. Some more serious than others, but all bad. Kevin McGivens, San Jose State OC. There was no way he would take the Mexico head coaching job, right?
I mean, it depends on how bad he wants a head coaching job.
I would think he was in the, he's been in the area because he's been OC at Utah State, Montana State, Weber State, Southern Utah. You're correct. I think there, I think they're given a possibility. I think he would prefer maybe wait to see if, not to see, not to say every coach is leaving, but if Brett Brennan moves on for some reason.
Yeah.
But I don't know. New Mexico, I'm like, it's, I don't know what to do, man. If you can't win for Rocky Long, Rocky Long said I went off the first time. I've done as much as I could. And now it's back a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I would say, I'm looking up Sports Reference real quick, because they got their butt kicked by Boise State this weekend. Not even close. Gonzalez is in year four, wait a minute, year four of 5-year contract. It's either give him the fake 1-year extension or he's gone. No coach, no program. It's, you're the most idiotic athletic director in the history of the world if you go into a lame duck year of your head coach. No player's going to want to come to your program.
Yeah.
So, either they keep him to a fake extension, which people should be able to see through if they're smart, or he's gone. So, was your thought he's gone?
I thought it was year three, but it, since it's year four, yes.
Peace out.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do we think about that job? Because we were talking about San Diego State and these two jobs. A couple of names real quick. You have like Brendan Carroll, Arizona OC, which he could be – he's a son of Pete Carroll. But look what Arizona's done like in 2 years. That's amazing. You have guys like Brendan Marion, names going to pop up around here or there. And then you have let's see who else is mentioned. Matt Wells possibly. Would he head back to Mountain West anywhere? Is it with Oklahoma as an off-the-field analyst? He could be a wild card to come back out west.
Marion's not. I don't think. I think Marion's wants the. He wants to go the Sean Lewis route.
I think for him, might be too soon, because teams, either, I think they'd want to see more of him. You know what I mean? More of what he, if it's more sustainable. Not to dis,
I also.
It's not
I
to diss on Rebels, but I'm just saying. I think they'd want more.
I also think this is similar to. I think this UNLV team is similar to TCU last year, where they had the talent there, and then they just had a coach that, you know, put it all together for them, and I want to see what they can do in the future years.
Yeah, that's what I think as well. It would be – because he was with Texas last year as a receivers coach. Hawaii, he did good things. He's done good things, like, but he's never won like this. Like, in Hawaii, yeah. They did fine. They were pretty good. Actually, was he the OC when they went to the title game?
I'm trying to remember. Brendan Marion?
Yeah. When Hawaii went to the Mountain West Championship game. Because they played Boise and lost. Wasn't close. I know they beat BYU in a bowl game. I'm trying to remember his years there. Because he went from Hawaii to... Did he go to...
No, he was only Hawaii in 2020.
Okay. And then he go to Central Florida after that? For a year?
No, he went to Pitt.
Oh, Pitt. That's right. Pitt. So he's going to Jordan Addison. Pretty good. He goes to Texas. Doing pretty good things. I think he'd have enough to take a New Mexico head coaching job if he wanted to.
I mean, if he wants to.
So, I don't know, man. Like, so, let's go back. Let's stick with San Diego State. Like, what could they get? Like, what would – why don't these teams – like, I'm serious. It's either – it's funny because Jimbo Fisher is fired. Do you remember his comment a couple years ago? Everybody wrote the same plays. It's just your players that matter. That's garbage, first of all.
It's kind of true.
Well, it is, but it's not. The reason I say it's not because be weird and be different. Why should Hawaii or New Mexico or Texas A&M or Miami or USC run the same play, same scheme? The plays, okay, you could be correct. One reason I'm saying yes and no, I used to work with a guy who's in the NFL, Scott Mitchell, for a dozen years. He's like, football's easy. It's not hard. He did say we all run the same plays. The difference is not just talent. It's basically your pre-snap stuff. Remember Boise would run motion every time? They stopped doing it and get their butt kicked? You can run 8 plays out of 1 formation. Do all these schools have that? I don't know. But I get what Jimbo's saying, but he's like big time coach and all this type of stuff. Like, yeah, technically everybody kind of runs the same play. We're not wrong, but there's different ways to do it. It's not just talent. You got to have some innovative. You don't need to be the Fonz in Waterboy doing the whatever he's doing to pretend to fake and that type of scene. If you remember that movie, where it's like, oh, he fakes. No, he pretends to fakes. He does this. He goes through a gigantic play. It's a mishmash and mush. But you can be creative enough where, okay, my actual technical play might be a toss to the right side on the outside of the tight end, but how do you get there?
Yeah.
And so that's where it's different in go-go offenses, different types of things, or being wildly different and going five wide. Like, San Diego State should be able to run whatever offense you want and be fine. I just don't know what they want to do. So,
and I mean, that brings up the question. They've had defensive coaches for the past however many years. Zach Arnett's another defensive coach. Do they just go find it off? Like, does San Diego State take a run at Brennan Marion?
If I'm San Diego State, I would go as much as I could to Ryan Grubb and say, come here, please, now. Yes, what do you want?
That too.
Like, Michael Penix, Jay Kaner, Michael Penix at Indiana, like, two locations of Michael Penix. Like, what's your problem? Like, this guy, San Diego State should do is what they can to get him there. He would be my number one choice, no questions asked. Brian Lindgren at Oregon State does a pretty good job, too, with DJU and the other guys they've had. They bring in players up to do and their program to be above average in the Pac-12 at the moment. But I don't know, man. So let's move on. So you think Danny's gone? I think it's Zach Arnett would be a good hire, but I don't know if they'll do it. We'll see. What about Boise State? They get rid of Andy Avalos. And you know, this decision was made before they beat the crap out of Mexico, right? We have to tell people that.
It had to be.
It's like, it's the old scenario. It's like, well, you don't win your way out of a job. The reason Jimbo was fired from Texas A&M, if they beat LSU in 2 weeks, people want him to stick around. Or if Boise State were the backdoor of their way into the conference title game, which they could, oh, why are we getting a coach who could win the conference championship? What do they want? Are they going to get... We already know they're going to talk to Kellen Moore, who's going to say no. Can you, Josh, tell me a reason why he'd say yes at this time, Kellen Moore, to leave? Either, let's say even the Chargers staff gets to miss Foley. Is there any reason he would go take a college head coaching job at Boise State right now?
Probably not.
Do you have a good reason? Like, do we need to explain to people why he wouldn't?
The only reason I can think off the top of my head is because it's his alma mater.
But he can have that job when he's 68 years old. He can have that job in 18 years. He could have had that job 10 minutes ago if he wanted to. He could have been introduced to head coach Sunday night if he really wanted that job, which we know he's not, obviously. But
I also think he's kind of pissed because if I read something on Reddit that they didn't even call him last time.
Was it when he was unemployed after the Cowboys?
Or before they hired Avalos. They didn't even call.
Okay. I wonder if they felt he was too young at the time. I don't know. Why did Timmy Chang thing? And there's something to be the experience, but also he's coaching freaking Justin Herbert, man. Let's say Chargers fire their head coach. Was it Brandon Staley, I believe? He's gone.
I believe so.
So yeah, Staley. Stokely's a receiver for the Broncos. So he's interim coach. He gets to coach freaking Justin Herbert, who is a really, 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 really good quarterback. He does well. He might be the head coach of the Chargers next year. It's the same thing people here in Utah are like, oh, maybe Brian Johnson will come back. They're like, no, he's coaching Jalen Hurts and the Eagles as their OC. Super Bowl potential. He's going to that NFL head coach job. Also, Josh, you know what NFL head coaches have? They have time off in the offseason. College coaches don't have that ever anymore. And never did for a long time. But, like, realistically, but let's go back to, like, is it Kirby Moore? Is it them getting Grubb to come to town from Washington? Is it them going, seriously, trying to bring Harsin back, which I don't think would be a great idea? Would it be going after, do they think, Sean Lusso of Colorado?
That would probably be my pick.
And I brought that up like 2 months ago. People were like, that's not happening. I'm like, you never know, man. He got demoted last week, essentially.
I want to know why Jeff Choate keeps popping up.
Was he the Texas co-DC?
Yeah. I know he coached at Boise, but
that's why.
Still.
That's why. That's all it takes.
I mean, he goes to Utah State, too.
I know. Does Boise go to a guy who coached or been associated with the program again?
I mean, they have Choate as an option. Technically, Jeff Grimes is an option.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. If they do that, they're the most idiotic program in the country. Jeff Grimes is a terrible offensive coach. Have they not seen Baylor football this year? No. I can't see my hands are on my head saying no a million times to Coach Grimes. No.
The only reason I'm saying that is because their athletic director came from Baylor.
No. Boy, no. No, no, no.
But that also leads me to believe that they won't hire from within the Boise ecosystem.
That's good.
That's why I think Sean Lewis is probably the leading candidate.
So if we look at bigger picture, what do they want there? Is it them? Is it their? I put on Twitter, the move is to make the playoff next year going forward with it being 12 teams.
I mean, Boise State's goal is to win. Like, if they don't win, we talk about Wyoming in their mediocrity. Boise's mediocrity is less than 10 wins.
Yeah.
If they don't win 10 or more, it's not a good season for them.
Yeah, because Avalos was not good at home. They claim they have a good NIL setup. I'm not sure. I do think, too, I was listening to, again, Split Zone the other day. They're mentioning things like Boise, you get all these guys from California. With the Pac-12 done and all these West Coast teams playing in the Big Ten or ACC, which is weird still to think about. If I'm a guy, why do I want to – I want to play closer to home. So if I'm a Bay Area guy or Arizona kid, Arizona's different. You play in town, but like say you're – let's just say you're not quite good enough to play Arizona State, but you're, I mean, in the neighborhood. Like, oh, go to Boise State. You're still not far for your parents or friends or family to watch you. Go to California where I'm playing at home more often. Or, I mean, if I go to Boise, I'm from California. I could play. I could go, excuse me, not play. I could watch my kid play at San Jose, at Fresno, at San Diego, at Vegas, at Boise. You're right there. That's a big deal. So that could be a theory to where that's where Grubbs could be a good guy, where he's a West Coast, California, up Washington. Hey, you can see your kid play all the time. That's a big draw. And so that could be a way where they get back into getting that type of talent.
Yeah.
Do you have a name, one name you want to throw out there? Like, hey, this could be this guy?
Well, Sean Lewis.
Oh, you already did. Sorry, you meant to show us. Yeah. Okay. I like Grubbs a lot, and let's see real quick what am I looking at here real quick. All right, what do we got next year? We need to wrap this up. We're almost an hour here, folks.
Technically, Fresno, San Jose State, because I don't think we touched on it.
Kyrie Robinson! What is going on? 200-yard rushing. Give him all the awards.
I think he took your disrespect personal.
Hey, you know what? I love it, and thank you. Except for my $25 I lost when I picked Fresno to win outright at plus 1.5.
It didn't make sense, but I was just like, who, like, what advanced stats are you using to move that line 3 points?
And I think it closed at plus 2.5. I think it opened minus 1.5 for Fresno, closed at 2.5.
All right, what advanced stats are you using to move a line 4 points?
I don't know. Oh, and also this team? Is it really Logan Fife?
So was it injury or did they just pull Mikey Keene?
I think he's still kind of hurt.
Okay.
But San Jose State goes down and scores quickly, gets a first on defense that's been pretty good. Like, I don't know. Like, they both played. I had the game on mute, but I thought it was part of injury still, so maybe. Because they both basically played the exact same stats. I should look it up real quick because I thought he was – I think because working late that night, so kind of watching it off and on. I'm going to take a quick
look. Well, it wasn't just that. I mean, the Spartans defense stepped up.
Like, oh, yeah.
Hard. They had 5 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, 6 pass deflections, 2 interceptions, a pick 6.
There's a lot going on, yeah. Yeah, I think it looked like it's partly him just not up to health-wise. But
so here's the other funny thing. Fresno State still forced them to punt 5 times.
Oh, man. So you're telling me it could have been a lot worse.
Absolutely. They didn't attempt a field goal.
Well, also, San Jose State also only had 10 third down attempts. Minus 2 doesn't help Fresno State.
And San Jose State had 8 penalties.
Yeah. Every time I looked up It's so weird because it was Kyrie Robinson's show, because even Siobhan Cordero had 9 completions with three touchdowns. It was just rush defense. Like, Qualy Conley had a huge game, 93 yards. Robinson obviously had a big game. Nick Nash showed up again with a touchdown and that long touchdown reception, the 40 yarder, whatever it was. But the defense sacked the quarterback 5 times, 11 TFLs. First of all, just was played like trash. It wasn't just Kyrie Robinson rushing, going over the place, or Shavon being efficient. They just shut down anything Fresno could do offensively.
Shavon wasn't that efficient.
Well, I meant 9 touchdowns, 9 passes, 3 touchdowns. I know he's 50%.
He's also only 50%.
Hey, day. I don't. Go by my numbers, please. I'm trying to make a point here. But Fresno, I don't know, man. It was like tough one. All right, next game, real quick. Air Force Hawaii.
Did someone steal Air Force's stick'em?
Yeah. I was going different.
Well, to be fair, it isn't stick'em. They threw 3 interceptions this game.
Wait, why are they throwing the ball that much without Zach Lear?
They only threw the ball 9 times.
That's too many for them.
Why would you? So Jensen Jones played, obviously, and then they brought Ben Britton in for a couple plays. Ben Britton is only on the stat sheet. He was 0 for 2 for 2 interceptions.
Is he your throwing guy? Or what? No, excuse me. He was your throwing guy?
But no. So Jensen Jones has the completions. Like, this is hilarious. So it's 1 for 10, 1 for 39, 165. Like, the passes aren't bad. It was just like they just couldn't run the ball. Like, by Air Force's standards, they just couldn't run the ball.
Yeah, they had two rushing plays for 72 yards of their 201.
Oh, and then Jensen Jones' fumble got returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, not good. And you know what? This is Air Force's first conference loss. Or they can still win the championship easily or make it to the title game, but no problems. If they can do some winning, maybe.
I don't even know if they're going to beat UNLV at this point.
No. Okay, I'm asking this. Is UNLV your number one team in the Power Poll? I've not sent out our email, which I forgot to Sunday night. I will do that right now, actually. Are they your number one team?
Yeah.
Who is – so we'll do this more on our next show. We'll preview things. We'll make sure to preview this week. We'll get back to that. And we'll go through tiebreaker scenarios. What's your title game prediction really quick before we look at all the tiebreaker stuff in a couple days?
Air Force play Fresno?
Nope.
I have to see the tiebreakers.
Ah, okay. Is UNLV one of your teams? Give me one team you want to be there. Is Rebels making it? They only have one conference loss. They only lost to Fresno.
Because who's UNLV's last game?
Maybe we should wait till next time to look at more detail. They have Air Force.
So UNLV's last game is San Jose State. Hmm. If they can beat Air Force, yes. They will be in the title game.
Okay. I want to see the Rebels make it there. I think they'll do it. But yes, we'll look at tiebreaker scenario. As of right now, in case people are wondering, it's UNLV's at Air Force. It is Falcons are favored by FPI 58%. I don't see the betting line in here. Oh, yeah, it is Air Force by 3.
The only reason it's 3 is
that's so lame. All right, we'll do more. We'll do more research and look at some more details on this. So we'll be back next time. Talk about week 12, right? Is that where we're at next week?
Yeah, week 12.
Oh, boy, week 12. All right, so I hope you like the coaching stuff. We'll keep that up to date and see what's going on because it's going to be interesting. And so if we go by what we discussed this show, Josh, the coaches that are gone, how many openings are there going to be? We already got San Diego State. We have Boise State. We think New Mexico, maybe Nevada. Are we looking at 4, perhaps?
4, maybe 5.
5, Craig Bowl.
Well, I was going to say if someone wants to take a shot on who's going to be his coach.
Oh, sorry. Odom?
Yeah.
Do you think they will?
Crazier things have happened.
He's already done the Missouri thing before.
I mean, that's Missouri and the SEC.
That's right. I mean, that's my point. Like, he's – and I think didn't he coach Chase Daniel there as well, I believe?
Yeah, he coached Drew Locke, too.
Or maybe it's Drew Locke and not Chase Daniel. So, there's an itch to get back, possibly. But I can see that if they go, let's say they win the conference, they go 11-2, like go 12-2 or 11-3. I could see.
I mean, he could be candidate for the Mississippi State job.
Mississippi State, Northwestern, perhaps stuff like that. I don't know. Billy Napier safe in Florida? I don't know. He's not looking too hot right now. We'll go through this later because this is where footballscoop.com is very important this time of year. So check their site out because they do lots of fun things there. Right?
It's F5 season.
Heck yeah, that's what it is. Blade tracking season. Get your Twitter alerts ready to go for Thamel, Dellinger, those type of guys, McMurphy. Get those ready to go, people. All right. We'll see you next time in a couple days to preview the final couple weeks and probably talk about coaching stuff. So we'll see you then.